This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
Now, of course, the biggest news of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year is the impeachment of President Trump. It is now in the hands of the Senate. They've spent all day debating the rules of the road, what they are going to do over the course of the next couple weeks or so in the Democratic attempt to remove President Trump from office. The rules as they stand right now will be like this. You'll get 3 days, 24 hours total spent with the House Democrats, the impeachment managers, making their case, followed by 3 days, 24 hours in total of the Trump's legal team making their case. Then you'll get 16 hours of Q&A, questions coming from the senators, written and delivered by the Chief Justice, John Roberts. After that, they will vote on whether or not they're going to allow for the subpoena of documents and to compel witnesses to testify. And that's really what this has been about today, and we knew it going in. This was going to be exclusively about whether or not they're going to allow witnesses. It is an argument that the Democrats are making that I think is rather self-defeating. It's a contradictory argument. On the one hand, House Democrats have said over and over and over again, and they're still saying it, the case is clear, the evidence is clear, the case is overwhelming. President Trump should have been impeached because of X, Y, and Z. Here's the proof. But they're also saying, whoa. We actually kind of need some witnesses and documents first. That, of course, doesn't make sense. That is an argument that is contradictory. You can't tell me that you had enough evidence to convict in the House, to impeach in the House, but then all of a sudden you don't have enough to convict in the Senate. So did you lie in the House about your case? Was that purely political, that you just wanted to go after this president because he would be impeached forever? What changed? Patrick Philbin is a Trump defense lawyer. He's one of the members of the team. And he noted the irony of what the House Democrats have been doing today.
It's remarkable that after taking the action of the breathtaking gravity of voting to impeach the duly elected president of the United States, and after saying for weeks that they had overwhelming evidence to support their case, the first thing that the House managers have done upon arriving finally in this chamber after waiting for 33 days is to say, well, actually, we need more evidence. We're not ready to present our case. We need to have subpoenas and we need to do more discovery because we don't have the evidence we need to support our case. This is stunning.
It is stunning. It's stunning in that they think you're going to fall for it. Now, they have reason to believe that you're going to fall for it because they know that not everybody is paying that close attention to what's going on. They understand that most people are getting their news from CNN or the New York Times or from Twitter, God forbid. And so you're not getting the full breadth of what's being discussed here. You heard over and over and over again the Democrats say, oh, well, you told us we could actually go ahead and get these witnesses. The president didn't even exert executive privilege. They said that many times. And Philbin, I'm going to play a clip. It's only about a minute long. I fully acknowledge on its surface that it's a little bit dry, just a little bit. It's a little wonky, a little bit lawyerly. But I think it's incredibly important to know this information because there's going to be people in your lives or maybe Twitter trolls who will come out and say, oh, well, the president didn't even exert executive privilege. So how could they use that as a defense to not allow a witness to testify? Well, it's a trick.
We've heard Manager Schiff say several times that the White House never asserted executive privilege. Well, let me be clear on that. That's a lawyer's trick because it is technically true that the White House didn't assert executive privilege because there's a particular situation in which you do that in a particular way that you do that. But there's another doctrine of immunity of senior advisors to the president that is based on the same principles as executive privilege and that has been asserted by presidents of both political parties since the 1970s at least. And this is what one attorney general explained about that. Quote, The immunity such advisors enjoy from testimonial compulsion by a congressional committee is absolute and may not be overborne by competing congressional interests, end quote. That was Attorney General Janet Reno in the Clinton administration, explaining that senior advisors to the president are immune from congressional compulsion. And that doctrine, that immunity, is rooted in the same principles of executive privilege.
Okay, so in fairness, I did say it was a little bit lawyerly and wonky, right, Producer Payne? I acknowledge
you that. Gave a fair warning.
But it is incredibly important to know that information. Because Adam Schiff knows, and he's right in this, Adam Schiff knows the vast majority of Americans don't realize the argument Philbin just made is a legitimate one. They certainly don't know it's an argument coming from Democrats. They know that. So they believe that they can forward these dishonest and disingenuous and frankly bad faith arguments and people will believe them, especially the folks who already don't like the president. They will do that 100% of the time. They will just believe what they want to believe. And you know what? Frankly, Republicans do that sometimes as well. Sometimes they just reject something or sometimes they just believe something because someone who they agree with said it. We have to make sure that we're making these arguments, not in this vacuum of being a hyper-partisan, but we base it on the facts. The good news in all of this, the facts are on the side of Republicans. Even if you're not a Trump supporter, you should at least be a fan of rights. Basic due process rights. The president did not have that in the House. They impeached anyway. And now these Democrats have the audacity to complain about a process that Adam Schiff says is not fair.
In the Clinton trial, both Senate leadership worked out a bipartisan proposal for how the trial would be conducted. That obviously has not happened here. Senator McConnell did not consult at all with Senator Schumer on the contents of this text. I would imagine that Senator Schumer only got to see it to probably around the same time that we did in the House. And the reason this was kept hidden is that it does not prescribe a process for a fair trial. And the American people desperately want to believe that the Senate will give both the president and the House of Representatives a fair trial.
I know that you're used to not giving the opposition a fair trial. But your own argument is betrayed by a simple fact. Today, in public, for everybody to see and for everybody to hear and for everybody to read about, they've literally been debating the rules, the resolution that you said was hidden. It's not hidden. They've been talking about it all day. You've been talking about it all day. We previewed what we knew were likely to be the rules of this impeachment last week. We did it again yesterday. This is not being hidden from anybody. And you know that. At the end of the day, you're upset because you don't have any actual proof. You've been promising proof of some kind of crime. But the facts haven't actually changed, and you know you can't actually make your case. And you're still so desperate in the Senate where you know you don't have a whole bunch of Democrats to close their eyes and shamelessly vote alongside you. You know you can't make that case, and so you're still desperate to find details. You're still desperate to get witness testimony that you could have gotten as a House member, but you chose not to. Jim Jordan made the point very beautifully on Fox News today.
This is so ridiculous. And again, these four facts, Brett, the idea that we have the transcript, there was no quid pro quo in the transcript. The two individuals on the call, President Trump and President Zelensky, have repeatedly said that there was no pushing, no pressure, no linkage between the security assistance dollars and any type of investigation in Ukraine. The Ukrainians didn't even know at the time of the call that aid had been held. And most importantly, they took no action. They never started an investigation. They never promised to start an investigation. They never announced an investigation. They took no action to get the aid released. Those four facts will never change no matter how long Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff talk.
He's 100% correct. He's 100% correct. And you've got Schiff praying every single night that he'll be able to talk to more witnesses, get access to more documents, and finally find what he knows in his heart exists, but in reality it doesn't. Because what he knows in his heart exists is fueled not by any kind of logic or reason, it's fueled by his hatred. of President Donald Trump. Now, the Senate is getting ready to come back into their hearing, back from a recess. We'll cover that live in just a moment.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
You're listening to the Jason Rantz Show. The House Democrats are back at the podium. This time, Representative Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat from New York. He is a House manager speaking on behalf of a Chuck Schumer amendment to allow more documents to be subpoenaed for the Senate impeachment trial. We go to the floor of the Senate live for impeachment coverage.
Regardless of gender, is that we believe in the rule of law and the importance of a fair trial. House managers strongly support this amendment to subpoena witness testimony, including with respect to Mick Mulvaney. Who has ever heard of a trial with no witnesses? But that is exactly what some are contemplating here today.
So real quick, let's pop this down so I can give some clarification to that misleading talking point. Under the rules of the resolution, they will get to vote on the witnesses at the conclusion of the 16 hours of questions and answers. This was the case when they were doing it under the Clinton impeachment. That's literally it. Now, they're going to go on to pretend that the president is somehow hiding something by exerting executive privilege and not allowing some of his people to testify. Let's listen in again. This is Representative Hakeem Jeffries.
More than 200 years of Senate impeachment trial practice. It departs from every impeachment trial conducted to date and goes against the Senate's own longstanding impeachment rules, which contemplates the possibility of new witness testimony. In fact, it departs from any criminal or civil trial procedure in America. Why should this president be held to a different standard? Second, the proposed amendment for witness testimony is necessary in light of the president's determined effort to bury the evidence and cover up his corrupt abuse of power. The House tried to get Mr. Mulvaney's testimony. We subpoenaed him. Mr. Mulvaney, together with other key witnesses, National Security Advisor John Bolton, Senior White House aide Robert Blair, Office of Management and Budget official Michael Duffy, and National Security Council lawyer John Eisenberg were called to testify before the House as part of this impeachment inquiry. But President Trump was determined to hide from the American people what they had to say. The president directed the entire executive branch and all of his top aides and advisors to defy all requests for their testimony.
Now, normally, again, to give you some context, because Representative Jeffries won't do that, normally when that happens and you believe that the president is overstepping his authority and exerting executive privilege, you would then take it to a court. They chose not to do that. They could have, but they feared that the court would not side with them. And if you're saying the only way you can move forward with impeachment is to hear from these witnesses, and a judge tells you you can't hear from those witnesses, it makes it a little bit more difficult to lie to the American people and say that you can, in fact, impeach with the limited information that you have. That's part of the reason why they chose not to do that. But remember, they tell us they had to rush through the entire process because we might have a monarchy on our hands if we don't. But now they're telling us to slow our roll. That's literally what Nancy Pelosi said in an email, I think. Slow your roll, guys. We need to get more information here. It's a self-defeating argument. Here again is Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, House Democrat manager for the impeachment, live on Capitol Hill.
On Ukraine to conduct one of the phony political investigations that the president wanted. Phony political investigations. A trial would not be complete without the testimony of Mick Mulvaney. Make no mistake, the evidentiary record that we have built is powerful and can clearly establish the president's guilt on both of the articles of impeachment. But it is hardly complete. The record comes to you without the testimony of Mr. Mulvaney and other important witnesses. And that brings me to one final preliminary observation.
Just one more?
The American people agree that there cannot be a fair trial without hearing from witnesses who have relevant information to provide.
Says relevant because they don't believe that Hunter Biden has relevant information. And that's the argument they'll use when a Republican tries to call Hunter Biden.
And most importantly, the American people deserve a fair trial. A fair trial requires witnesses in order to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is why this amendment should be adopted.
It will not be.
Before we discuss Mr. Mulvaney's knowledge of the president's geopolitical shakedown, it is important to note that an impeachment trial without witnesses would be a stunning departure from this institution's past practice. This distinguished body has conducted 15 impeachment trials. All have included witnesses. Sometimes those trials included just a handful of witnesses, as indicated on the screen. At other times, they included dozens. In one case, there were over 100 different witnesses.
Yes, of a judge in
1913. As the slide shows, the average number of witnesses to appear at a Senate impeachment trial is 33. And in at least three of those instances, including the impeachment of Bill Clinton, witnesses appeared before the Senate who had not previously appeared before the House.
Keep in mind, under President Clinton, there were only three witnesses. And again, the Republicans are not saying they won't call any witnesses. They're saying they'll actually vote on the witnesses after the Q&A portion of the impeachment.
To obtain evidence, including witness testimony, seriously. The Senate has always taken its obligation to evaluate the president's conduct based on a full body of available information seriously.
Which the House
this is the only way to ensure fundamental fairness for everyone involved.
So that's Representative Hakeem Jeffries, a House manager from New York, a Democrat. And he's making an argument that's been made before and has been dismissed before as illegitimate. You cannot tell me that you are trying to fight for a fair process unless you get these witnesses when those witnesses were not provided during the House impeachment process. It doesn't make any sense. They know it doesn't make any sense. But they hope, they pray, that the American people weren't paying that close attention to the House impeachment. I believe that enough people saw the impeachment, heard about it on this show, read about it at MyNorthwest.com and wherever it is you get your news, and you have just a little bit of basic knowledge of what went on. You cannot make an argument successfully that the process is only fair if the witnesses you want to be called are called when you decided not to call them when you had the opportunity and fight for them to be called. Now, we got a text message at 1-800-465-8770 in response to a comment I made earlier suggesting that I would be on board for impeachment if the Supreme Court got involved and said, look, you can't exert executive privilege here. You got to turn over the documents. And if they ignored the documents, if the Trump administration ignored the documents, of course I would support impeachment at that time, because that's a literal crime. Now, from the 206, they said there's no basis in law for any of this up to neglecting of the court order. So you're okay with a lawful screw job and political witch hunt. I'm sorry, 206, you're incorrect on that. A court 100% can weigh in and say executive privilege does not apply in this case. They were about to do that under Obama when they exerted executive privilege having to do with the federal gun running charges, Fast and Furious. The court said, no, you don't get to do the executive privilege here. Then the Obama administration dropped the legal challenge and turned over the documents because they knew that they were going to lose that. So in that instance, it would 100% be a lawful impeachment. In the case right now, the way that they're doing this, this is, in my opinion, an unlawful impeachment. Unlawful in the sense that I think it's legally specious. They obviously can do this. They've already impeached the president. It's not a legal proceeding per se. It's a political one. But I do appreciate your comments. And if you guys have any questions about anything that's going on right now, you can send me a text at 1-800-465-8770. When we come back to the Jason Rancho, we're going to take a little bit of a break from impeachment coverage because Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney, he decided to pull black boxes from the vehicles of his deputies, and he decided to reinstate a fired officer fired after shooting and killing an unarmed suspect. But of course, when talking about these kinds of issues, you get the anti-cop people speaking really loudly. There's way more to that story. He's going to join us when we come back. Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side, fulfilling a promise to treat his deputies with the trust that they expect and have earned. Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney ended a contract for black boxes in the vehicles of his deputies. The Everett Herald doesn't appear to be a fan of this move. They printed a news report that I think suggests a pretty obvious bias. So let's figure this all out together. Joining me on the line is Sheriff Adam Fortney. Sheriff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Jason.
So originally, these black boxes were put in by your predecessor, Sheriff Trenary. They were put there for the safety of deputies. You've pulled them out. So explain your position.
Yeah, so it's not a safety issue with me. It is a trust issue. You actually nailed it in your introduction there. I ran on, I think one of the things I kept saying that ended up sticking with my campaign is we're going to take the handcuffs off the police officers and put them back on the criminals where they belong. And I think this is a step in that process. And really, the way I see it is we do extensive background checks before you even get hired at the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office. Then we put you in upwards of a year, just over a year of training, both at the academy in Berrien, and then they come back here and enter our own field training program. So we give them a badge, we give them a gun, and most importantly to me, we give them the authority to take people's liberties away, which is a really big deal. Look, Jason, all I'm saying is we do all of that stuff. I'm going to trust them to drive their dang car. That's all I'm saying. And I got to say one other thing is I'm saying all this stuff internally to employees. I'm saying it to you in the media externally. Just as important to me is the safety factor. And so every time I'm saying this, I'm also putting out the safety message too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if worried is the right. I'm not worried because I think we have very responsible people that work here. But the safety message is right on the heels of it. I just don't need to pay $12,000 a month to Verizon to pay this bill to monitor their driving. I think it's ridiculous myself. So there's a safety message. There's a safety component with that. I just want to be real clear about that.
So let's move on from the safety aspect to it. At the tail end of this piece in the Herald, they pointed out that the former undersheriff said that this program would essentially pay for itself to $12,000 a month. They said the data would end up being used to reduce idle time by what they believe to be more than an hour per vehicle per shift, save on fuel, save on maintenance costs. In other words, they would make it so that your deputies, I suppose, are more efficient in how they do their job. So playing devil's advocate, would it make sense that someone might look at this and say, oh, the deputies, they just want to be able to dilly-dally all day long, and they're just mad that people were calling them out on it?
No, because I think they're very responsible. I would actually disagree with that. I think the deputies are really responsible with this. And there was some good that came with that safety message. There's no doubt about it. It wasn't just a black box program. They were all in with traffic safety. And I'm not opposed to that at all. They also institute a program called Below 100, which is just, it's basic reminders about safety things, driving and things like that. That program had a huge impact on our employees as well. I think black boxes are just one component of it. I thought the cost was enormous, whether they're saving the money in idle time or not. I don't know, to be honest with you. It's just the trust message is just super important to me. And I'm going to trust my guys that, look, cops used to, we used to leave our cars idling all night when I first started in this business. No matter what call we were on, we'd have a key in our pocket, a key in the ignition. We'd go in and handle a call. We'd come back out to it. It's just not done anymore. Times have changed, and I don't need to pay $12,000 a month to make sure they're doing it. I'm gonna trust that they're doing it.
Well, and a point that I made yesterday in something like this, I actually trust that you have the ear of, you know, the average deputy, and it's not I'm not pushing back against the former sheriff, but I look at you and you had an overnight shift. You were actually boots on the ground working, and I kind of figured that in something like this, you're actually hearing directly from the folks that you're now in charge of.
Okay, so I am. I'm hearing a lot. I'm at day one in week four of an administration. Okay, so it's early. And granted, there's always a honeymoon period. Okay, but so far the responses I'm getting is very good. I'd actually like to read just a portion of one, if you don't mind. And this comes from a deputy. It's very important because I've been doing this job 23 years. This gentleman's been doing the job. He's been pushing a patrol car, is how I call it, for 35 years in Snohomish County. That's a really big deal to me, okay? So he's been around a lot, okay? And so he reached out to me after I did this decision. I didn't reach out to him. And he just says, as you know all too well, the things that make for a good, strong morale and happy people. Mm-hmm. I'm happier in the past 2 weeks than I have been in the previous 8 years combined. Thank you for your hard work, and it's appreciated. And so those are the kind of, that's the feedback I'm getting.
Nice.
Now that doesn't mean a whole lot. So yeah, he said, okay, Adam, good job. That's fine. It's a tough job. Maybe he doesn't like the next 10 decisions I make. But how that impacts the public is, do you want a cop showing up at your door, okay, who we're jam-packed up here in Snohomish County, we're way behind on staffing, that is supported and brings that attitude that I just read to you in that email, where he feels supported by an administration? Or do you want what we've had after the last 6 years, which people are worried about every decision they make, they're worried about driving their cars because they don't want to get in trouble? If you're in an emergency situation, you want that deputy that is confident in his decision making, confident that he's going to be supported within reason, and it's a clear distinction to me, and I'll go down this road every day of the week when it comes to my leadership decision.
Just joining me, we're talking with Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney. His decision to remove black boxes from the 219 vehicles under his office, they're now taking it away, and in large part it's due because he wants to make sure that the deputies there feel trusted. Now, another move that you recently made that's catching some attention is probably also in that same world of getting the folks who now report to you more trusting of your direction. You decided to reinstate Deputy Arthur Wallen. He fatally shot an unarmed suspect after this high-speed chase happened back in 2018. Prosecutors decided under Adam Cornell saying, yeah, we're not going after him because he didn't actually break any law. He was following policy, and yet he was still fired. You just reinstated him.
I absolutely swore him in last Friday, and I'm proud to say that I did it.
Why the change? Why the reversal?
So this is the deal. I was his sergeant at the time. I've had a different outlook on this case, clearly, than the other administration from that moment on. So when I won this election, clearly I had to put a different hat on, okay? Arthur's been a friend of mine for a while, and I made him zero promises whatsoever. The only thing I told him post-election and prior to being sworn in is that I would take a second look at it. I felt I owed it not only to him, but to our office, okay? This is a huge deal because someone lost their life, and we never want that to happen. You already mentioned that the Snohomish County prosecutor cleared him, which he did, and I would encourage anyone who can get a hold of that letter to read it, because it's more than just a I'm not charging you criminally letter. It is a very supportive letter. So once I get into office here, I've got access to people and to documents that I just didn't have access to before, just because of the office, okay? I dove in, Jason, okay? I've read this binder backwards and forwards, and not only, I guess I had perceptions coming into it like anybody would, but mm-hmm. I kept an open mind because I was fully aware I could get into something that I haven't seen before, and I could go, boy, I don't know about that.
Sure.
Maybe I can kind of see what the former sheriff was thinking. That could have happened, right? And I would have had to made, because of my new position, made a decision that was right for the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office and right for the community. The problem is, Jason, that didn't happen. Not only am I just as confident as I was prior to looking at this additional information, I am 1,000 more times confident. I think he got a raw deal, 100%. Not only that, I think the kid's a hero for taking care of his partner that night and doing that thing. And it's unfortunate that anybody had to lose their life. I never want to see that. But that deputy did not ask to be put in that position.
Yeah.
Okay. He was put in that position by the suspect that night. And there was a lot of other things tried before that shooting happened. And it's the one guy that wasn't going to stop that night.
Well, and the argument is he wasn't necessarily unarmed certainly in the traditional sense, the suspect was unarmed, but he was using his car as a weapon.
5,000-pound jacked up F-150 is a weapon every day of the week. He already proved he was going to use it where he rammed at least 3 police cars. During the pursuit, and his engine was shut off during one of the pit maneuvers. He got it started again, and that's what happened when the shooting occurred, except now that there was a couple more crunched cars and there was deputies out within harm's way. The former sheriff just kind of disregarded that the deputy was in any danger that night. I wholeheartedly disagree with that, and I do support his decision.
So obviously, last question on this. Obviously, given, and kudos to you for being so open about it, you had a relationship with him as his former sergeant. People are obviously going to say that you had some kind of bias. Did people outside of just you, like any advisor, weigh in on this as well and see things the way you see them? Just so for your sake, you realize you're not making a decision based with some kind of bias.
I completely get it. So this is where it gets complicated. So the answer to your question is yes. I can't sit here and give you names, though, because that wouldn't be appropriate. But let me tell you, it wasn't just Adam coming into an office, closing the door and reading the file and making a decision. I met with all sorts of people in county government, and you can read into that what you want. Okay. So the answer very clearly to your question is yes, this decision was supported throughout county government.
I love your openness on all of these issues. I love that you've actually got the backs of your deputies. We've been talking with Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney. Thank you so much for stopping by the show. I really appreciate it.
Yep, you got it. Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we dive back into impeachment coverage.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show and our live, continuing coverage of the impeachment trial. Hakeem Jeffries is still speaking. He's a House manager. He's a Democrat representative from New York. And he's arguing on behalf of a resolution amendment offered by Chuck Schumer to allow for witnesses to be called in a more expedited way. So under the rules right now that Mitch McConnell put forward with the full support of Senate Republicans, all 53, they will give 3 days worth of testimony from the House Democrats, 24 hours in total over the course of 3 days. Then the Trump legal team, 24 hours in total over 3 days, followed by 16 hours of Q&A, followed by a vote on whether or not they're going to allow specific witnesses or documents to be subpoenaed. Now, whether or not they hear from witnesses, I don't know. My assumption is you will get some witnesses because the media narrative is a little bit too strong to get away with not calling witnesses. The question is, which ones will be called? Now, if they try to go after Bolton, the former national security advisor, they know it's not going to go anywhere because the president is rightfully going to ask for executive privilege. Same thing with Mick Mulvaney. But maybe you get Hunter Biden, which is going to put Democrats in a tough spot because they're saying, hey, we want witnesses. And then when the Republicans say, okay, let's call Hunter Biden, they're going to say, whoa, we didn't mean that. We want others. Now, while this is happening, the economic summit is happening overseas, Davos, where President Trump didn't do a lot of talking about impeachment, but he did make some reference, some talk.
That whole thing is a hoax. Goes nowhere because nothing happened. The only thing we've done is a great job. We have the strongest country in the world by far, and it was going in the wrong direction. We have the greatest economy we've ever had in the history of our country. And I'm in Europe today because we're bringing a lot of other companies into our country, with thousands of jobs, millions of jobs in many cases. So that whole thing is a total hoax. So I'm sure it's going to work out fine. Thank you all very much.
Now, this is something that the president very clearly has on his side. Now, if this was a president of a weak administration, not getting much done, not having a good economy, maybe he'd be a little bit more susceptible to impeachment, even if no law was actually broken. But right now, he clearly has a lot of benefits to this administration that people, regardless of whether or not they like the president, can at least acknowledge. So moving forward, tomorrow, as we expect them to move into day one of the Democrats making their case, which will start about 10 a.m. our time. We'll be covering it live, by the way, tomorrow afternoon during this show. The question after all of this is whether or not there's going to be a vote to dismiss impeachment. Some Republicans have put out there that the case is not being made at all, that this should never have gotten out of the House, that they have no evidence of an actual crime. So maybe we should have a vote to just dismiss the impeachment flat out. Here's Senator Marsha Blackburn, the Republican from Tennessee.
The impeachment a noun comes to the Senate. The Senate takes it up for review and to hear from the House managers and from the president's team. And then they make a decision. What we will do tomorrow is vote the rules that are going to govern this impeachment hearing and trial. We are going to then hear from those managers of each team. And Sean, what we will do is at that point, after we have heard everything, it would be in order to go ahead and vote to dismiss this because we do not want to do anything that is going to weaken executive privilege. We do not want anything that is going to embolden the House to do further proceedings.
So I hope that they don't do that. I hope that they don't move to dismiss. Number one, they don't have the votes even within the Republican Party. The fact of the matter is the president was impeached, and it does deserve a hearing. It does deserve, from the American people perspective, at least the lawyers for the Trump side to put out their case. That would be a horrible look. And the media would jump over it to a point where you can basically assume that every single person who isn't listening to this show, who isn't following every waking moment of impeachment, is going to assume that the Republicans are corrupt and they're covering up for a president. It would be a horrible move, as much as I disagree with the impeachment, to go ahead and just dismiss. Because right now, the best thing that we can do is finally hear from the president's defense, which was not given the opportunity in a fair way, was not given due process in the House, and keep letting people like Adam Schiff and Val Dennings and Hakeem Jeffries and Jerry Nadler and Jason Crow, keep allowing them to talk. Because what they're essentially saying is, we need more time to make our case, even though we so quickly decided to impeach the president in the House. Because that was an argument that Pat Cipollone was making. He's the president's lawyer who spoke earlier today.
Overwhelming evidence to impeach the president of the United States. And then they come here on the first day and they say, you know what? We need some more evidence. Now, let me tell you something. If I showed up in any court in this country and I said, Judge, my case is overwhelming, but I'm not ready to go yet. I need more evidence before I can make my case. I would get thrown out in 2 seconds.
Let's be clear. If the Democrats went into any actual court, which they are loath to do, they would be laughed out of the room. And so I say, let's put it on display. I know you guys are paying attention. I know you're listening all day. I know you're hearing the analysis on Saul Spady and to Rush Limbaugh and to Michael Medved into this show. I get it. I think that this is only going to help the president, but we'll see. Because it's not always easy to do the job that the media refuses to do. I really do appreciate everybody tuning into the show today. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, Saul Spady Show will have a rundown of the biggest moments of the day. In fact, I'll be on tomorrow morning at 7:30 with my analysis, if you are not sick of it by now. And then tomorrow in the afternoon, we'll have live coverage of the Senate impeachment debate.